This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the
Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Hilo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severn, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that laugh? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely? Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
JR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually write a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying that
I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
I'm gonna record it.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I'm not used to this long, grueling podcast schedule.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you guys just joking about for the next hour?
Fun. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s?
Just being...
And you included yourself in that as well?
I was being nice. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
What the fuck is a shock wall?
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
You go all through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation. Let me know what
you're doing.
Here's our opener. To do worse than Josh Richards.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live on this Wednesday evening inside the PTV Man Cave. And Scott, it's a big week. Always is when you're heading here to the Man Cave yourself over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So always a good go-home show to the big event.
Yes, this is like the Raw before WrestleMania.
Yes.
JR, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Welcome, PTV Nation, to episode 254.
Mm-hmm.
Of the Place to Be Podcast. No, we have not thought about 300, so don't bother asking.
Actually, I kind of have. I got an idea.
Well, we have theories.
Yes,
we have early ideas, but we haven't really dived totally into the what we'll do for three bills. But tonight, though, got a very interesting concept. Well, I wouldn't say it's an interesting concept because we've done it before. But tonight we're going to do something pretty special, and you and I don't get to debate often on individual things. Mm. And tonight we might have a good chance to have some fun, mm-hmm. and put together a nice Listomania. Yes, Listomania has returned.
Kind of. All right, let's do a little business first.
Pay the bills? Oh no, wait, that's later.
A little business first, and then we will dive into that.
I see. Okay.
So first off. PlaceToBeNation.com. Another couple of good days here. Some good articles. Just quickly touch on them. Hard Traveling Fanboys back today with their favorite Marvel heroes. And a really cool roundtable piece on John Cena's greatest opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Who is his greatest feud with? Yes. There's a staff roundtable on that. Of course, Ring of Honor recap. Kings of Sport with Mark Kruskal interview. He's a PR specialist. They talk about the Be a Star campaign and the Ryback angle and all that stuff. Weber Has Issues was up. Kind of cool. He kind of combined wrestling and comics there. It talks about Rey Mysterio's comic-inspired attire. We had some TV previews with the Mindy Project and New Girl from Jen Engel. And, of course, Richard the Mailman breaking down one of the final episodes of Breaking Bad and also talking some Emmys. And Roger Morissette made his debut on Place to Be Nation, breaking down the Mayweather-Canelo fight. If you're a boxing fan, head over and check that out. Roger will be joining us quite often for football and boxing and MMA and stuff. So he's a big fight fan. Also, of course, your Raw recap is up there too. So there's the update for placetobenation.com. We have a lot of cool stuff planned for the rest of the week as well. All the podcasts, all your favorite pods, and articles and staff members will be penning different things there as well. Yes. All right, Scott. Also, before we get to the show, we're going to flip things a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're going to do our NFL picks very quickly here, and then we'll get to the meat of this bitch. So let's last week was another tight week, and you lead overall in the year 25-24.
Ah, yes, been a good week. Had a couple upsets week two.
Oh yeah.
But I think we've seen a line drawn in the sand, no pun intended. About who are contenders and pretenders. There's not many. I think we realized after a couple weeks there's not many in-betweens, and one team took a huge step back today.
Mm-hmm.
Quick NFL note, the Cleveland Browns have traded second-year running back Trent Richardson, yes, the Bama Trent Richardson, to the Colts for
a first-round pick.
Picks. A pick.
So I can see the pluses and minuses in this one. One, obviously, Mike Lombardi, the new VP there, that's not his guy. They don't feel he fits Straczynski's offense, and I feel like there's always been issues there. They've never seemed to like him, even the old regime. Two, they're obviously not going to contend for at least a couple years. They have a lot of rebuilding there to do. Mm-hmm. By the time they're ready to contend, Richardson's probably going to be a little too expensive. Are they wasting him? Could they get a first-round pick, even though it might be mid to high, you know, high teens, early 20s with Indy? They need players. They need impact players, and by collecting picks and restocking, this is probably their best bet. I mean, they're really going nowhere right now with Richardson, so why not trade him, get first-round value for him? On the flip side, they're clearly tanking. It's not a good sign at all to the fan base. So they're obviously, I think they're going to try and tank and get Teddy Bridgewater. Fantastic move for the Colts, though.
Yeah, obviously. I think that might be a piece that Luck's offense was missing, a bona fide guy who's very hard to tackle. Can get you yards and chunks. So if you're that AFC South, I'm sorry, I'd be a little concerned. The Colts definitely look a lot better offensively. But we'll talk about them later.
I thought they were due for a little regression. I thought we were already witnessing it. And they have another tough game this week. And they got him just in time, I thought. This is really it was shrewd to get him this early in the season, too. I thought that was big instead of waiting around. You wonder if Lombardi's going to use that pick, or there's rumors that he's floating Josh Gordon out there, too. He's always been a big Ryan Mallett fan from New England. I can't see him giving Gordon or the pickup from a first-rounder from Mallett, though, as much as he loves him. I think they're obviously just going to wait and try and draft a high quarterback, because this draft is pretty loaded. But it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, you know me, I kind of have a soft spot for the Browns, but they definitely have a lot of work to do, and we'll see. It was definitely a win-win. This wasn't one of those, oh, my God, what the hell is or either team thinking? This was easily a win-win for both teams. And we'll talk about both teams momentarily because, like you said, JR, we're flipping things around this week. So it's time to what?
Take the field.
Exactly.
All right. First Thursday night game tomorrow night. We have Kansas City invading Philadelphia. Andy Reid coming home. He's coming home. Oh, I've been going back.
Don't sing the rest. Of
it, I've been going back and forth on this one. I feel like Kansas City is so hyped, and Philly coming off a tough loss. Reed coming home. KC's defense is playing really well. Philly's offense is looking phenomenal. I don't know if KC can score enough, but Philly's defense sucks. So I don't know what's going to be the first dam to break. I'll probably play it safe and take KC. They're actually the underdog in this game. But I don't feel great about it.
This is actually going to be my... Oh, by the way, just to recap, week two, JR, we were both plus one in our bonus picks. You had the Ravens with your lock. That was a win. You had the Jags with your upset. And you had the Bengals with your suicide. So you got plus one. I had the Eagles for my lock. That didn't happen. I had Buffalo with my upset. And I had... Baltimore with my suicide. So right now you are at plus two. I am at plus four.
Okay.
So I just want to go through that. All right. I'm saying that because this is my upset. I like Kansas City in this game. I should have known. I think we were given a false sense of security if you're an Eagles fan about that week one. Sorry, Brad. About that week one performance against the Redskins. Clearly, the Redskins got a lot of problems, and we'll talk about them in a couple minutes.
Oh yeah, but all right, good.
I just think that that Kansas City is playing on a different level. Andy Reid wants to make a point here, and he's just the better coach than Chip Kelly. And in a game like this,
yeah. But what are you talking about? I want to know what you mean about Philly us being tricked or whatever.
I think a lot of people thought that their defense was better than it looked against the Redskins. They could score points.
Okay, but I want to make sure you're not talking about their offense, because I don't know if you witnessed what they put on even this Sunday again.
Yeah, no, their offense is fine. Their offense is fine, but I think they're going to run into a tough defense who's going to hit them hard, and I think they can keep up a little bit with the speed. I think they have a pretty good pass rush. They stop the run, so it may be a very Michael Vick happy game on Thursday night, tomorrow night. So I think it's going to be a very close game, but I like Kansas City to win late. So I like the Chiefs. And this is my upset pick of the week.
All right, big game to kick off the Sunday slate. Green Bay travels to Cincinnati. Both teams shook off rough opening week losses and bounced back with good wins. Green Bay looked phenomenal, beating the shit out of Washington. I think they stay hot and they go into Cincy and win a tough game here.
This is a hard pick for me because I picked the Bengals to win the division, and I don't want them to start 1-2, but I don't see how they have a choice. Aaron Rodgers, you know what's sad? Aaron Rodgers was talking to Pat Kerwin, who's one of the co-hosts on Moving the Chains on SiriusXM's NFL radio channel. And he said, I don't even think we played that great offensively against this past Sunday. I think there's more we can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's frightening. he didn't think he even throw the ball that great, and he set a personal high with 480 yards passing.
And James Starks ran for like $120 or something.
So. Yeah, and that's after Eddie Lacy got hurt. I like the Packers here. I hate having the Bengals go 1-2, but I think they'll play fine.
Well, that division sucks, though, so they have plenty of time to make it up.
Yeah.
And they still have two games with the Browns left.
Exactly. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think Andy Dalton will get his licks in, and I think the Packer defense will struggle a bit. But I think the offense will just outscore Cincinnati. So I like Green Bay.
All right. Up next, St. Louis travels to the big star to face your boys, Dallas. Coming off a close loss in KC, St. Louis had a little gutty game in Atlanta. Mm. This has Dallas choke job written all over it. So I could see St. Louis come in and get like 20 sacks. But I'll pick your boys. I'll pick Dallas to bounce back and to put up some points and win this one.
What they need to do in this game is they need to jump out to a huge lead enough where the Rams just can't come back. Because the problem we've seen through weeks 1 and 2 is finishing. They need a Mariano kind of essence. Mm-hmm. On this team. They had a 6-point lead against the Chiefs. Defense was playing great, and they just can't finish. 19 straight passes Tony Romo threw. DeMarco Murray had 12 touches. Now, I know we've talked about the lack of a run. In fact, right now the NFL is averaging 98 yards. The average NFL running back is averaging 98 yards per game, which is the lowest in like 12 or 13 years. Saw it on NFL Network the other night. So clearly the running game is dying, but there's some teams that need it still. Not everybody's running a Chip Kelly offense, and that's the Cowboys' problem. I say they win this game. I'm sure they'll find a way to make me sweat in the fourth quarter. But I think they survive at home and win this game.
And they really wasted a chance to take control of this division with that loss.
Absolutely. I'm furious at how bad they played, at how they gacked it on Sunday. Furious. No, the Chiefs are not a bad team. I just pumped but they're not better than the Cowboys. Player for player, Dallas is better, and they should have won the game, and they didn't. And that's aggravating. Same thing here. Player for player, they're better than the Rams. Is Jeff Fisher a better coach than Jason Garrett? Obviously. But when you have more talent, you need to win the game. And that's what they need to do Sunday, and I think they will.
All right, speaking of talent, a very talented San Diego offense as of late heads into Tennessee. Two teams that have kind of surprised. Two teams that had trouble closing games where they could be 2-0. I like San Diego here. Their offense looked really good, and I think Tennessee's a mirage, and they're due. Their offense didn't do anything against Houston. Their defense has been playing well, but I like San Diego to win this game.
I like the Chargers, too. I love the way I keep wanting to call him David Rivers. I love the way Philip Rivers is playing. I feel there's kind of a resurgence in San Diego right now. Obviously, this is a winnable game even on the road. Jake Locker, it's all right. He hasn't looked terrible these first 2 weeks, but yeah. Chris Johnson hasn't run the ball nearly.
I think he even threw for $180 on Sunday.
I know. But he keeps him in games. He doesn't make too many mistakes. But $180 is not going to win you anything.
No,
you need to push the ball around. And I think Chris Johnson hasn't had nearly as many touches as he should.
Mm-hmm.
I like San Diego on the road.
Okay, this one I think is a no-brainer. Minnesota at home for Cleveland.
Yeah,
their defense beats it. I mean, Brian Hoyer starting that game. So
yeah, Minnesota's 0-2, but they've both been nail biters. You and I both definitely believe that Christian Ponder is no, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, but this is a game he should win.
Yep.
I'll take the Vikings.
All right, Tampa going into New England, and this is a tricky one for me because I feel like New England is due to lose one of these games at some point. They've really gotten, I don't say lucky, but they pull out a couple of close games. Tampa's due for a win. Their defense has been playing really well. They are so dysfunctional, though. So I can definitely see, I mean, I would not be surprised if Tampa went in and won this game. Would I ever pick them to win? No, because they're sloppy and they're stupid and they don't play right and there's a lot of trouble there and I never go against the pass really in these games. So I'll take New England, but I think there is upset potential with this one.
I agree. There is upset potential here. But yeah, Greg Schiano has already lost control. You cannot coach. Lou Holtz learned it. Steve Spurrier learned it. I don't know if Chip Kelly will. College coaches have to understand these guys are not 19 years old. And they're not playing for school credits. These guys are getting paid millions of dollars. They play on, they play based on respect. So you don't treat these guys like 19-year-olds. Then that's exactly what Shiano's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And your boy, Mr. Island, already realizes that. And
well, he's already running his mouth. And that that trade to me, I think it needed to be done. And I'm kind of happy now. As much as I love Revis, the guy's just never happy.
Mm.
And we're seeing it now again. Already 2 weeks in, complaining. D. Milliner struggled, but we'll see what he can become. But the pick they got for Revis has been Sheldon Richardson, who's been playing phenomenally in his rookie year. So
right.
I still stand by that trade. I'll take New England here.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Pats too. Tom Brady's just pissed off right now. He should be pissed off at his coach because his coach is the reason he's got these shitty receivers. Instead of, you know, being big balls to Welker and having him stay, he wanted to be tough guy, and now they have nobody. So look in the mirror.
Kyle Forchetti, Danny Amendola watches on how many games he misses because the big debate we had with Kyle.
Well, he's not having the surgery on the sports hernia, so they said maybe like three games, maybe.
Well, there's some whispers around here that they may try and gut him through the three big games they have and then have the hernia surgery.
Yeah.
Because they have Atlanta, Cincinnati, and New Orleans coming up after this game, so we'll see. Speaking of New Orleans, they're home for Arizona. I like New Orleans here.
I do too. Shouldn't be a problem.
All right, tricky one here is Detroit goes to Washington. Washington has looked abysmal at home in a must-win game. Always worries me, but Detroit's offense versus Washington's defense. I mean, I'm going to take Detroit for now. I want to see if Bush is playing, but I think even Joique Bell will have a big day. Washington's run defense is just brutal. I mean, James Starks put up 120. I can't imagine what Bush would do against them. So we'll see, but I'm definitely iffy on this one just because I could see Washington stepping up in a must-win. It's hard for these teams to go 0-3.
I'm going to take the Lions. Stafford has actually been playing a little more efficient. You know, he's not throwing for
bad loss against Arizona.
It was a very bad loss against Arizona. He threw for, you know, he threw efficiently. He didn't throw for 500 yards and no touchdowns. I think they win this game on the road. The Redskin defense has looked horrendous, both on the ground and in the air. And RG is still not comfortable.
That's why. Yeah.
This is his preseason. He's still not comfortable standing there throwing. And it takes a half for him to kind of get accustomed. And by then, they're already down four touchdowns. This line offense is the kind of offense that could give themselves a big lead early. And then the Redskins try and come back late, and they'll fall short. And that's, I think, what's going to happen here. So I'll take the Lions.
All right. Big game for two 0-2 teams as the Giants head to Carolina. I think the Giants win this game. I think they're just the better team, and they're due for a win. They've had a really tough start with Denver and Dallas. I think they beat an inferior Carolina team here to send them to 0-3.
When you first mentioned this game literally 30 seconds ago, I actually clicked Carolina. You know, they didn't play bad against Buffalo, and the Giants just look so demoralized. Like, they all look like glassed over, like they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they even understand what's going on right now. They look so befuddled on both sides of the ball. They get in the red zone, and they don't know what the hell to do. I don't care if Brandon Jacobs, this offensive line doesn't even know how to block. They're not getting holes. It's more than just the fact that they don't have actual running backs. There's blocking issues with that offensive line. I'm tentatively going to pick the Giants, but I would not be surprised if Cam Newton had a big game here and the Panthers win. But I'm going to play it safe and take the Giants.
Well, we'll see. It depends how angry they are, Cam, down there in that team, how well they play. All right, let's buzz through these next few. Houston travels to Baltimore. Houston been playing with fire. I still think they win this game at Baltimore because I just think Baltimore doesn't have the talent, especially if Ray Rice misses the game or is dinged up. I like Houston here, but this to me is a prove it game for Houston. They need to win this game convincingly, not come back last second.
I'm really torn here. In Baltimore, I mean, the Ravens did not play great against Cleveland. Wow, I don't know what to do here. This is a tough one. Houston didn't play that great this week either. I'm gonna take the Ravens at home.
Okay,
I have a feeling that the defense is gonna finally show itself and realize we don't need Ray Lewis anymore. You know,
they played well last week. I mean,
yeah,
granted it was Cleveland, but
yeah, I mean, is Andre Johnson playing this week? I know he had the concussion.
Ooh, good call. I don't think
I'm sure if Andre Johnson's playing. I mean, they have Hopkins. I like Hopkins, but I don't know. I'm gonna take the Ravens at home. I think Flacco's gonna have a good game. And be close. I like the Ravens at home.
Okay. Atlanta at Miami. Atlanta is all banged up. They're hurting. And I think this is a statement game for them. I think Miami's riding high, 2-0. Everyone's kind of looking at them. They're even favored in this game. Atlanta's without Steven Jackson, without a couple guys on D. But I'm taking the Falcons. I think this is a game where they pull together and get a win in a game that could easily fold. And, you know, not a division game, not a conference game. That's a game that could mail in. But I think they step up and win.
I think a lot of Dolphins fans and listening to a lot of talk radio, both terrestrial and satellite, a lot of Dolphins fans smoking the something right now because whatever their former running back has, because they all think that the division's theirs and, oh, my God, and the Patriots are a paper tiger, blah, blah. Nah. Now, they're looking all right the first 2 weeks, but this Falcon team is banged up as they are. They're still, talent-wise, one of the best teams in the league, and I think they went on the road.
Okay. Jets home for Buffalo. This is kind of a game to determine if either of these teams has a shot to make a little noise in the wild card. I like the Jets at home.
This is another game that I'm iffy on. You got two great young quarterbacks. EJ Manuel has definitely played better than Geno Smith. Not terribly better, but three picks in one quarter is not good. This is another one. This is another like the Giants Panthers. I've been clicking I'm going to take you. I'm going to take your boys, but I don't know.
Well, it's like the Jets strong. Run D has been suffocating. I mean, they shut down Doug Martin and Ridley completely, held them combined just over 100 yards. So we'll see if Spiller can do anything. But I think the Jets win a low, close game.
Yeah, this may be an ugly. A lot of heart. I have a feeling there's going to be some type of penalty hits, and I don't know. I feel a fight coming. I don't know. It's one of those games where, like, fourth quarter, someone's going to get hit.
All right, Scott, we got four more games, and these are all layups, I think. So let's just buzz through them quickly, okay? Sure. San Fran home for Indy. I like San Fran.
Ditto.
Seattle home for Jacksonville. This is going to be the ugliest, ugliest, ugliest game in history.
Oh, that's my lock.
That's actually my upset.
No. This is like when I picked the Jags to win the Super Bowl like 4 years ago.
This is definitely definitely my lock as well, Seattle. Chicago at Pittsburgh. Another team backed up against a wall in Pitt, but I just think they're too banged up. I think Chicago's defense is too strong, and I think they will throw all over Pitt.
Yeah, and this is actually going to be my suicide pick this week. I know the game's in Pittsburgh, but they have terrible blocking issues. Really no variety on offense. I like the Bears.
All right, and Denver home for Oakland on Monday night. That will be a massacre.
Yeah, this game's not going to be pretty either.
All right, my upset, I will take... that's cheap, but I'll take Atlanta over Miami.
That is pretty cheap.
Well, I mean, Atlanta's pretty banged up, and Miami's been playing pretty well. Lock is Seattle. And suicide...
Already used the Chiefs.
I will take Minnesota.
You've used the Steelers and Bengals. And you said?
Minnesota.
All right. There's your week three picks.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll bring on our special guest and kick off this party. Light this candle, Scott. Because?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now!
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
He likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get y'all until I get you, Paul Jones. Oh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best!
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
Well, there they are, our good friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Now, if you want nonstop old-school NWA discussion, dating back to that very first Starrcade, these guys have it covered. Even the PICs have made an appearance once. We are very particular what podcasts we visit. So check out our friends Chad Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Their link is right on our site, placetobenation.com. Just go into the podcast menu. There they are, with the other great shows we partner with. Chad and Parr, working Where the Big Boys Play. Speaking of Place to Be Nation, that's your everyday home for your pop culture needs. At placetobenation.com, we have everything. Wrestling, sports, comics, even polls. We want your opinions as well. Every day, there's something different with our top staff of writers who are experts in all fields of pop culture. From the weekly Raw review to the return of the hack, you've got everything you need. We're also working with a myriad of great podcasts, of course, besides Chad Parr. We have Grapple Talk, the fans podcast, Off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, We Found New Music, and the Kings of Sport with Nate Milton. We've got everything for your listening pleasure. So check us out every day of the week at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Now, don't forget about our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com. He's still the top source for all argument solvers, from match results to house show cards to pay-per-view histories. Any questions you need answered? Any debates among wrestling fans that need ending? Head over to Graham's treasure trove of information. You will certainly find it. Need to know what the opener of Starrcade 1995 was? What was the main event of that 1988 Boston Garden house show you went to when you were 11 years old? Graham can tell you. He has WWE, WCW, ECW results, and the growing results in TNA and Ring of Honor. So for all your wrestling research needs, check out Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Now finally, if you want a place to just hang out, discuss all things wrestling with fellow diehard fans, check out the news and the great forums at twfnews.com. They have all the up-to-the-minute stories in WWE, TNA, and pretty much everywhere in between. They talk old school, Attitude Era, and even those hard-to-remember guys and shows like Waylon Mercy or In Your House Number 3. So check out all there is to see right on twfnews.com.
Hey, this is Scott Hudson, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast with Scott and Justin.
I like country music. I love country girls. I like Willie Nelson, and don't forget about Merle. There's only one thing that I hate, because it's a bunch of crap.
All right, Nation, we are back, and we are ready to kick this off. We have a very special guest with us. Let's bring him in, Scott, and then we will kick off the concept.
Let's do that. We had to pick the right guy to be the analyst slash tiebreaker. Armel Kiper, if you will.
I bet he doesn't even know who that is. But, of course, the one and only, the great Mr. Graham Cawthon, owner, purveyor of historyofwwe.com. Graham, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. This will be fun. I'm going to start my first beer here momentarily.
All right, great. Get a little lathered up, and we'll hit this thing hard into the hole. We'll hit this thing. So it should be fun. So here's the concept we've come up with. We are going to hold the all-time, counting the modern era and on, so maybe not all-time, but WWF Tag Team Tournament. We've taken 64 of the best WWF tag teams from about 84-ish on, throwing them into a pool.
Era.
Yes, pay-per-view era. Scott, myself, and Chad Campbell ranked all 64 of these teams. We bracketed them by rank, split them up, and we're going to debate each matchup right here for you. We're going to see who would advance, and we'll determine who was the greatest World Wrestling Federation tag team. Now, one caveat is that this only factors in their WWF tenures. So if you have a team like the Steiner Brothers or the Road Warriors, we are not counting their time in the AWA, WCW, NWA, Japan, anything like that. It only counts their WWF run. So if you think they're ranked a little bit low, that may be why. And we're factoring in the matchups. We'll also be considering just their career with the World Wrestling Federation / Entertainment. And that's that. Also, these guys are all in their primes, as we had to tell Graham a million times. So. By a million, I mean one. All right, Scott. What's the first bracket? What's the first matchup? Let's get started.
All right, bracket number one is our 164 matchup. Our number 64 seed I believe the only team, well, actually both these teams used more than two guys at some point. Our 64 seed is none other than the Spirit Squad.
Oh boy.
Taking on the number one seed in this tournament, the first three-time World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. Here comes the Axe, and here comes the Smasher, the Demolition, Walking Disaster.
All right, I'm going to throw this right. I'm going to put Graham right in the fire, starting things off. Graham, was Demolition worthy of the number one overall seed in this tournament?
I mean, you could argue it, but I would say certainly the top five.
Okay. I think this is obviously an easy win over the Spirit Squad, correct?
Oh, there's any doubt. I think they get – it doesn't matter what combination you put. They'll just pummel the crap out of them, yes.
But they've got Kenny, and they have Mikey.
And Mitch.
And Mitch.
What a – I thought the Spirit Squad had potential. Do you think they could have done something with them if they like kind of maybe quietly dropped that gimmick and kept them together?
Well, I don't know. They kind of did that with – well, in terms of keeping them together, I don't know. They kind of did that with Kenny, and it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. I thought they had potential. Obviously, the Demolition we're talking about was this Axe and Smash in their prime. Let's say, what, like 89, 90? It's pretty much probably there.
Yeah, pretty much mid-88 to mid-90.
Yeah.
That Dolph Ziggler guy, he has potential.
Yeah, he did okay out of that team. Mm-hmm. All right, Demolition moves on. Easy one there.
Yes. All right, next up, we have... They won the titles at WrestleMania 7, held them for a few months, lost to a team that's in this tournament. Talking about Mr. Knobs, Mr. Sags, the Nasty Boys, taking on the first of many teams in this tournament involving two single superstars that worked together for a brief time, and that is the Rated R Superstar Edge, the Viper Randy Orton, Rated RKO.
What's the numbers on this one, Scott, seeding?
The Nasty Boys would be the... Well, if it's the right after 1 and 64, this would be probably
okay,
30.
So we're just going in order for this.
30, yeah, okay, 31 okay. And 32. Yeah,
this is a tough one.
Would face Demolition.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I think RKO upsets the Nasty Boys. The Nasties had a solid run, the one tag reign and their little face run that was kind of aborted at the end. But I thought Rated RKO was pretty dominant when they were as a team. They weren't together as long, but I thought when they were, their peak was higher. Do you agree, Graham?
I do. I think the Nasty Boys were. Kind of like if you could turn the Bushwhackers heel and still not them be the sheep herders, they would be the Nasty Boys.
That's a tremendous description, Graham. I love that.
Yeah.
I actually
goofy.
Oh, sorry,
they're goofy and they're violent. Well, they're not really violent. They're just...
No, Graham, you with us?
Did he vanish?
We might have lost him to the abyss of Skype, so... Do you agree with?
I actually would have had the Nasties win this match because I think they never totally trusted each other, RKO, and I could see them possibly having some type of dissension causing a Nasties win.
What was your favorite Nasty Boys WWF match? Do you have one?
Hi.
Hey, Graham. Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we must have had a dead spot there. We lost you or something. I was just asking Scott quickly his favorite Nasty Boys WWF match, if there is one.
Well, you'd have to say their win at WrestleMania 7 against the Hart Foundation. I mean, it was the premier win for them.
Yeah, I like that one or the SummerSlam 91 match with LOD. But I think that 7 match with the Harts is pretty underrated. Do you agree, Graham?
I do. As a kid, I hated watching them because the Harts lost, but I appreciate the match now.
Yeah, so okay. RKO advances, though, and moves on to face Demolition next round.
Yes. All right, the next two matches underneath. This one, we have a guy, the first of what will be repeat guys in this tournament. Mr. Mercury and Mr. Morrison, although he was Mr. Nitro at the time. Johnny Nitro, Joey Mercury, Eminem, with Melina as their manager, taking on the combination of Ric Flair and Batista. Evolution. Going head-to-head here.
Tricky matchup here. Flair and Batista, kind of a forgotten team during a forgotten period. I don't think they had quite the run, though, that Eminem had. Eminem was really a bright spot during kind of a sagging time for the tag division. They really came out of nowhere, out of developmental, and immediately won the titles and became SmackDown's top team. That was Melina's peak right out of the gate. She really you know, came out hot and stayed hot early. So I like Eminem here to pick up the win. Little of assistance from Molina. I think they outsmart the Nature Boy. How about you, Graham?
I don't know. This one could go either way. I think I will go with Evolution only because of Batista.
All right, Scott, you're going to break the tie.
I break the tie. I'm going to have to go with Eminem here, surprisingly. I know you think I would take Evolution, but they were on. There was some stretches where they were just unbeatable. They have the speed. They could outsmart you, which, you know, trying to outsmart Ric Flair is very, very difficult. But I just think they're a better, more athletic team, and I think if they did face one-on-one, I think they could neutralize Batista and take advantage of
it. That was really before Batista took off. If you think of the time frame that they were a team, he wasn't really Batista yet, right?
Sure. Yeah, it was late 03, early 04. So, yeah, I think Eminem wins this one, which means they move on. Who they face in the next round? Well, guess what? Mr. Nitro may be facing himself.
What?
Because the next match is John Morrison and The Miz. Of course, a dominant team in, what was it, 08-ish. Mm-hmm. They will be taking on, ooh, good matchup of young stud teams from the mid-2000s. Former tag team champions themselves, Kane and Murdoch.
Ooh, interesting one. Graham, kick us off here.
I think this will be a super fun match. I will go with Miz and Morrison.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to avoid this weird Nexus time warp thing with the same guy facing himself, but... I you know, Kane and Murdoch were good. I think they could really hang, but I think Miz and Morrison were just on another level during that time period. Some of the stuff they did on ECW with the talk segments were fantastic, and they really became a pretty good team. It was almost like a modern era New Age Outlaws. Two guys that were kind of floating around, and they put them together, and then kind of the
comparison.
Some of the parts was better than them, you know, being separate. So I like Miz and Morrison here.
Obviously, my pick. They've already advanced, but I was going to take Cade Murdoch. I think Murdoch was the difference. He was the Haas of the team, and Miz and Morrison didn't have really a Haas, and I think that's the difference. He could take a good beat, and he's like a $2 stake, and I think he'd have been the difference in this match. I think Cade would have kind of matched Miz and Morrison in the ring, but I think Murdoch's, you know, is a big Haas, and I think he would have been the difference. So I think Cade Murdoch would have won, but I am outvoted. So we will have.
Actually, I'm looking forward to that match now because I really want to debate which of those teams is better. That'll be a good debate.
So it'll be Morrison and Miz versus Eminem in a Nexus, TARDIS, Doctor Who moment as we hang in the middle of the black hole. All right, next up. This is probably an easy one. The first of two awesome tag teams that the late, great Owen Hart was on. This one is his second one. And in fact, I'm watching his partner right now on the Event Center TV. Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. Taking on a team that, if they had faced somebody else in this tournament, might have had a shot, and that was Paul Roma, Jim Powers, the Young Stallions.
Stallions. It's tough competition here. Stallions are always game and gutty back in the late 80s, and one of those kind of filler teams that complemented a really stacked tag period. But Bulldog and Owen are just fantastic. I don't see the Stallions standing any chance here. How about you, no. Graham?
I think the only thing that the Stallions win is which team has the fancier jackets.
Yes. Plenty of teams in this tournament that have fancier ones, too.
Yes. But,
that is true. That is true. Yeah.
That so could be a consolation award after.
Yes. Owen and Bulldog, move on.
Let me ask you this, Graham. Owen and Bulldog, though, a time period that was really down in the WWF for tag division. Do you give them the credit for giving the division a heartbeat to kind of get things going again? It seemed like it was really dying in the end of 95.
Oh, sure. I love their pairing. I love their pairing from the start. I thought when they were matched up against the Smoking Guns at that In Your House, I hoped that they would get the belts. And I think for the next 6 to 9 months, they did a fantastic job being the top tag team in the company and really helping other teams get good exposure from working with them.
I concur with that. I think because if Owen Bulldog were in another era, they'd still be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the Smoking Guns in 95, 96 where, you know, they were the best then, but they'd probably be like the eighth best in a better era. I think Owen and Bulldog would have been great anywhere.
You know what's great, too, with that team? They were really seasoned veterans at that point. So they only were not only great, like, in the ring, but they were smart on how they worked matches and psychology and stuff like that. they weren't, you know, when you looked at Bulldog back when he was at the Bulldogs, a younger guy, kind of, not say dumb in the ring, but not really the you know, ring general he became. So I that's what I love about that team too. They were really good veteran position at that point.
You know, a good comparison from the Crockett angle would be Tully and Arn.
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not from you know, what they do in the ring, because Owen was much more of a high flyer and Bulldog had a lot more power, but just in the experience that they brought to the tag team, and kind of they're kind of like ring generals.
Agreed. I think that's another great comparison. Yep.
Yes. Outstanding. So, Owen and Bulldog do move on. Who do they take on? An interesting matchup here. Another three person combo here. One of their names just escaped my mind, but Sylvain Grenier, Robert Conway, and
Rene Dupree,
a.k.a. La Resistance, one of the best teams of 03 and 04. Taking on one of our morphed together teams, but JR, you and I talked about on the Vintage Vaults, maybe the tag team of the year in 1999, the team of Kane and X-Pac.
Oof.
Graham, what do you think? You start.
I think Kane chokeslams the little poodle.
And then eats him.
And yes. And the match goes about 15 seconds.
I will set the dog on fire.
All right, Scott, go ahead. I like Kane and X-Pac, no doubt.
Oh yeah, I do too.
Okay.
I mean, it was well documented. We talked about it when we talked about our vaults that year, and Kevin Kelly actually, I think, backed us up on it. Fantastic team that year.
Yeah.
And it's in a year where the tag division was a little weak, as teams were just starting to get together. They definitely held it together. So I definitely agree with you on that. All right. I'm not going to talk about second round matchups. I want it to go out of your head, so we're surprised later.
Okay.
Next up, we have another put together team. Oh boy, I might get outvoted on this one. The first of many teams the Big Show will be on. This one is Jericho, the team of Big Show and Chris Jericho. What is that, late 09, I think they were? Early 10. Taking on one of my favorite, if not my favorite, put-together tag teams of singles guys ever. That is, of course, the team of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H, a.k.a. the two-man power trip.
All right, Scott, why don't you sell us on your vote, and then Graham and I can decide if we agree.
Okay. Two teams slapped together with singles guys. Big Show and Chris Jericho were a good team, and they worked heel style, but they weren't vicious. I think, very simply, you go through that 4 or 5 week stretch of Raws and SmackDowns in 2001, and Triple H and Stone Cold were just sons of motherfucking bitches. I mean, when you don't just hit Lita with a chair.
You get that, Graham?
Yes.
Sons of motherfucking bitches.
You like that? I'm going to make a t-shirt. Just wrap it around. When you take a chair and you just don't hit Lita once, you pummel her.
You treat her like the son of a motherfucking bitch as she is.
Pummel her like the motherfucking... those guys, they were violent, nasty, mean, greedy. Every awesome heel... character trait you could possibly have, they had in that, 5 week stretch, or actually, well, probably more than that, 6 or 7 week stretch, before Triple H got hurt the night after Judgment Day. They would have just destroyed, they would have taken Big Show out, taken his knee out, and then systematically dissected Jericho. Jericho would have hung around, got some moves in. He was a different kind of wrestler at this point than had we picked the Chris Jericho of, you know, 2000. Or 2001, which they did feud with, but he was a very different wrestler 8 years later. I think they would have just dismantled Big Show, taken out a limb, kind of like Ole and Arn, mm-hmm. Ram, back in the mid-80s, you know, take out a body part, and I think they would have dismantled Jericho. He would have been held to his own because Big Show would have been taken out.
All right, what do you think, Graham? You agree? Did he win you over?
I don't think that that Hunter and Austin could work as well together as Jericho and Big Show. Whether it's a countout or a DQ, it's still a win. And I'm going with Jericho and Big Show.
I agree with Graham. I don't think we saw enough of Austin and Triple H. I know they were great for that little period that they were together, but I feel like it just ended so quickly due to the injury, and I would have liked to see them be more dominant. Jericho and Big Show were dominant. They worked really well together. And don't forget, it came out of that Jericho Edge team Edge got hurt and they brought Show in. And at first, everyone was kind of like, oh, this is weird. And they really worked well. I thought they were, I think they kind of overlooked on the list of greatest teams. I thought they had a great run. And, you know, two veteran guys, again, almost like Owen and Bulldog, two veteran guys put together later in the career. Very smart about working a match. You had the power guy, you had the kind of speed guy. And I thought they complemented each other nicely. So, yes, I take Jericho. Sorry, Scott.
Quite all right. Because this next match, I dare you, dare either of you to go against me.
Hey!
The final match of bracket number one, we have Luke and Butch, Bushwhackers, taking on my pick when we discuss greatest tag teams ever here and on the board, Bigelow34.proboards.com back in the day, Hawk and Animal, the Road Warriors. I know who Graham's going to pick because he... I wasn't sure if you were going to do it or not, to be honest. I didn't know if you were going to break the Vintage Vault rule, but it's been, God, 3 years
forever
of Vintage Vault time, so not actually longer than that. Now, Graham already compared the Bushwhack, or already compared the Spirit Squad, or no, compared it, who did you? Oh, the Nasty Boys to the Bushwhackers. So I don't think you've already debunked yourself for picking the Bushwhackers in this match. But
now, well, okay, here's the finish. Draws comes out, distracting Hawk.
You wish.
Hawk runs after Draws. Bushwhackers on a count out.
Yeah, right.
I'm down. Bushwhackers advance.
Oh, come on. This is weak. Jay Hinchy's flipping out right now. Come on.
Good. That makes it even better. Yeah, this is a massacre, obviously. This is like an old school NWA style job fest with the Bushwhackers eating a quick doomsday device for the squash.
All right, so bracket one is complete. We will get to the second round matches when we get there. All right, bracket number two. The number one seed in this bracket is one of the greatest tag teams of all time, but certainly built their resume here in the WWF, and that is Bubba Ray and D-Von, the Dudley Boys. And now for the first time in this tournament, JR has to break his own heart because their opponents are...
Energy!
Yes, one of my favorite teams growing up, Owen and Coco.
They're going to get destroyed.
Yeah, they were good for what they were at the time. You know, they bounced around, they flew around, they got the kids fired up. And
almost the pants.
Yes,
the cap pants were the best and the great music. You know, they're like the modern early 90s version of the Bushwhackers, only with more work rate. It's kind of there to get the kids fired up. But yeah, so the Dudleys quickly make quick work. They hit the 3D on Coco and put them away for the win. Graham?
Dudleys get the 3D on Coco, and then Owen kicks Coco's leg out of his leg.
I thought that I'm thinking more like this is one of those SD Jones and some jobber teams where like Coco gets all the moves in, tags into Owen because Owen was so green and he's the one that gets pummeled and he's the one that eats the 3D. But we're not splitting hairs on that. So your number one seed in this region, the Dudley Boys, move on. Next up, another JR.
This is an amazing match.
Another JR team here.
Oh boy,
this one's pickable though. Fatu and Samu, aka the Head Shrinkers.
Not the Headbangers.
Not the Headbangers. They're later on.
Okay.
The Head Shrinkers taking on over 700 pounds of Rosero Love.
Yes.
The Big Boss Man, the African Dream Akeem. Yes. The Twin Towers.
Yes.
I'm picking them.
Oh, yeah. This would be a great brawl. If there's any match we could argue in this first round that would go to like a double count out, this would probably be it, where they'd just all brawl on the floor. But Bossman and Akeem, if you look at their peak, to me, is like early 89-ish around WrestleMania 5. And they were just really a really good team, and they worked well together. And they're just too big for the Head Shrinkers here. Head Shrinkers, though, during their peak when they won the tag titles in mid-94, were no team to sneeze at, though. They were a high-quality team, especially during a time when the division was down. But I can't go against the Towers here. Graham,
the vote's in. Your comment.
I would pay to see for this match. This match on paper is just gold. I'm going to go with an upset. I'm going to see, because I know the Head Shrinkers did very well against the natural disasters, and I think that they could do the same here. I could see double something on Akeem, and then splash off the top.
I don't like you anymore, Graham.
And and Slick tries to intervene, and they take his cane, and they just whack Akeem in the head with it.
No! Akeem will eat the cane, and then shit it out on top of Fatu. Yes.
Doesn't matter.
Twin Towers event.
JR, let me ask you something. Let me ask you, JR, if... Take the head shrinker, take the Twin Towers out of that era where Demolition was so dominant. Stick him in, like, same age, same part of prime of your career. Put him in, like, 94.
Mm.
What kind of awesome team would they have been at that point?
Yeah, of course. It would have been great. They would have been a good dominant heel team. I mean, they were a strong team, I thought, and I liked Slick in that corner. And Bossman could bump all over the place at that point, as big as he was. And Akeem was a pretty good bumper himself, too. And their offense just looked high impact, which I loved for big guys. Like, that matchup with the Rockers, WrestleMania 5, so much fun. Everything looks so hard-hitting with them, you know, and even though it may not be, it may be light, but just because the way they're big and kind of flabby, everything looks like it just really hurts.
Mm. So, the Twin Towers move on. Oh my God, what a second-round match that's going to be. Holy shit.
I'm already sniffing upset.
Talk about a brawl. All right, next up. Oh, man. This match here has 1989 Saturday. This match has 1989.
You're right.
What's what? This match has 1989 Saturday Night's main event written all over it. The winners of the infamous beer pong tournament that will live in infamy. You and I, the Mega Powers. No, not us. But of course, the real Mega Powers, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage, taking on the evil, yet equally awesome, current WWE Tag Team Champions, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, The Shield.
All right, Graham,
I mean,
go
this
ahead.
Wouldn't like fit exactly into a main event from 89.
All right, Graham's giggling like a schoolgirl, so let's see what he's got to say about this one.
Well, here's the thing. I accidentally read it as Mega Maniacs.
Ah.
And so in my head, I'm just thinking about all the ways.
In this match.
I'm thinking about all the ways that Beefcake could do the job.
Savage is a little bit different than Beefcake.
I gotta give it to, geez, it's a DQ. I'm just trying to figure out which team.
Wow.
I'll go DQ victory for the Shield.
Oof!
Wow.
Because. Okay, this is Rollins and Reigns, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, obviously, Ambrose is out there. Obviously, he's going to be doing things behind the referee's back. Macho Man's going to get pissed off. He's going to grab himself a chair and chase Ambrose and then beat the crap out of the other guys with the weapon.
All right, Scott, what do you think?
I tell you something, though. Could there be a better guy to stalk Elizabeth on the outside than Dean Ambrose, though?
Perfect.
With that creepy look on his face, he would be stalking her like with that weird, like Jokerish look. It'd be awesome. But I think Savage chases off. Hogan hits the leg drop, and the Mega Powers move on.
All right, I think we need an upset, and I dig Graham's scenario. So I am taking the Shields by the DQ. Savage gets pissed, like you said, Ambrose is stalking Liz. He grabs a chair, snaps, and goes crazy with it. And then him and Hogan fight forever. So I like the Shield here in the upset.
Okay, interesting.
I got your back, Graham.
Thank you.
No, I like that scenario as well. I like
oh,
that
man, we got a couple of good, really good matches coming up here.
Next up, easily one of the most unheralded teams of the late 2000s, but had one of the most impressive title runs, and that is Paul London, Brian Kendrick, taking on one of the most awesome late 80s tag teams. And our first taste, JR, of our vote for the greatest manager ever. So our first Bobby the Brain team, the Islanders. This is a great match. Wow.
Oh, yes.
High-flying aerial maneuvers left and right. Fantastic match here.
What do you think, Graham?
Going with the Islanders. I think it'll be a fantastic match. I think London and Kendrick and the Islanders will bump all over the place. And I think London and Kendrick will attempt a double headbutt or two that will fail and splash off the top.
I think this is like a 14-minute sprint where these guys just go all out, flying all over the place. And I think Bobby Heenan distracts London, eats a super kick from Haku, and then they get the win. The Islanders advance.
I agree. I agree as well. Plus, they're just bigger. Yeah, they can fly around, but you know, Haku just has the, you know, he's got about 20, 30 pounds. Both those guys are just really small, and I think that works to their disadvantage. So I agree. Islanders move on. All right, next up we have pretty much for the first time in this tournament, two teams that pretty much fit the same era. We've got our first but not last look at the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, though he wasn't the Heartbreak Kid at that moment. He was just plain old Shawn Michaels. And Marty Jannetty, uncrowned tag team champions, the Rockers, taking on Jumpin' Jim Brunzel, B. Brian Blair, the Killer Bees. Obviously, these two probably wrestled at some point.
I don't know if they ever did, actually. I know a website we could try and look for it.
It's not on there.
Ugh.
Ugh. All right, Graham, what do you think?
Rockers. I think Sean and Marty are a little too flashy.
I agree. I think the Bees are a pretty good match. I think the Bees are kind of historically underrated, to be honest. They had a really good run there for about a year and a half or so, but the Rockers are they'd be higher on this list if they had a title reign, and maybe, yeah, they probably should be higher anyway. But I like their longevity. I like their double team, and I like them to win.
Okay. All right, next up. Ooh.
Who would you pick, Scott?
I agree. I took the Rockers as well. Right. I agree. That's why I was about to say, yeah. I complete the unanimous pick. All right, next up.
Complete it, sir.
Complete it. Next up, we have another matchup of two fast tag teams. We've got, you were talking earlier, Graham, about teams with awesome jackets. This team most certainly did. The girls in cars themselves. Tito Santana, Rick Martel, Strike Force.
Wait, those were the girls? I thought the song was about other girls.
Guess it depends on your point of view. Taking on the Dancing Fools themselves. Scotty Too Hottie, Grandmaster Sexy, Too Cool. JR, we'll start with you.
This is another one.
Yeah, well, I see you juking over there, Graham.
We have three straight really good high-flying matches here with these teams, and I think Too Cool would be a little frisky, but I think Strike Force is just a better team. We'll say Martel. This would be one of those ones that's a double finish. Like Tito hits the forearm on Scotty while Martel puts Christopher in the Boston Crab and kind of get the double pin / submission.
Graham?
Tito accidentally hits Martel with the flying forearm. And then he just does it to the two other opponents and pins them simultaneously.
I like it.
All right. So Strike Force. We'll move on. To the next. Dancing Fool Graham there in his den.
Looking it's up. 1987.
That's right. Look, 1997. It's okay that you're, what, about 8 years late on the song? Well, that's all right. No problem. Oh, and this next match is what JR would call bowling shoe ugly. Rick and Scott, the Steiners, taking out a Team JR that you accidentally mentioned earlier. Not accidentally, but. Mosh and Thrasher, the Headbangers. This match would be horrendous. What do you think, Graham?
I think Scotty hits the Frankensteiner on Mosh. It's the worst Frankensteiner you've ever seen in your life. No one ever sees Mosh again. He's carted out on a stretcher.
And then Thrasher just appears on our show forever.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the Headbangers. I do. I just think the Steiners are too strong. Even if we're just factoring in the Steiners' Dirty F run, I think they'd take care of them pretty quickly.
I concur. No, I was not a big fan of them in this stretch, but all right, so the Steiners move on. Final match of this bracket is another match between two teams who never faced each other but were in the same era, very close anyway. We've talked about them recently, JR, in the Vintage Vaults. The D-O-double-G, the B-A-D-A-double-S, the New Age Outlaws, Badass Road Dog, taking on a team that was just created, but this was one of those teams that kind of interchanged guys, and they just started in our Vintage Vaults. Right to censor.
Right, and the team here is pretty much Bull Buchanan and the Good Father.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Prime Outlaws, they should win this pretty easily. You know, you'll get the interference from Val and Stevie and everything, but I like the Outlaws. Graham?
Right to Censor gives up after merely seeing the New Age Outlaws entrance.
they walk
that's
out.
That's it. We're not good enough.
Nah.
Walk out. So, okay, I agree. So the New Age Outlaws move on. So we got some good second round matchups, gentlemen, in this round. Very, 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 very good. All right. Bracket number three. We begin with a bona fide favorite in this tournament.
And this would be a hell of a match.
Yes. The Hitman, the Anvil, the original Hart Foundation. Many consider the number two overall seed in this tournament. Taking on a JR special. Many consider them uncrowned champions. Furnace and LaFon.
A team that looked good for about 3 months, and then injuries and deep pushing kind of derailed them. But if you take peak Hart Foundation and you take Furnace and LaFon from that late 96 stretch and give them about 20 minutes on pay-per-view, that would just be a hell of a match. We saw pretty much saw an idea of it with Bulldog and Owen taking them on. But, I mean, you're talking about you know the Harts from 89-ish. That would just be a phenomenal match. But I like the Harts to advance, but Furnace and LaFon, they get a standing ovation after this one. Graham, you agree?
I take it the Harts win, but they cheat. Because the Harts were so good at being babyface and heel, and I could see it going a babyface versus babyface route. But then the Harts, whether it be some ropes or whatever, they pick up the 1-2-3.
Oh, I agree. I think the Hart Foundation win as well. Next up, another one of 1997's best, or 1996 actually, depending on what side, as Graham talked about, face or heel. Hog and Pig. Henry Orpheus and Phineas Ignatius, the Godwins, taking on my brother's favorite tag team, or one of them of the mid-80s, the Hammer and the Beefer, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, not the Barber yet, just Brutus Beefcake, Greg the Hammer Valentine, the Dream Team.
Well, let me throw this out first. What do we consider peak Godwins? Is it...
was there ever?
Is it 96 when they were champions, or... I think they were better in 97 as the fucked up heels. I liked them better at that period.
I did too.
How about you, Graham?
Yeah, I'd go that route.
Okay, so if we're looking at the heel Godwins, I still don't think they match up with the Dream Team. I think the Dream Team was so good in that 86 stretch, and really Beefcake was starting to learn. And he really took that role seriously of kind of learning under the wing of Greg Valentine, who was the mentor in that team. And I thought that really, you know, as I talked about in that article on the website, I thought that was where Beefcake, it finally started to click for him. And it came together. And I think they're kind of a forgotten team, and I like them to knock off the Godwins here.
I agree. I think they're just tacticians. Beefcake just kind of sets up, and Hammer hits the big moves. Graham?
I would go with Dream Team as well. Beefcake, I mean, this is kind of like the Dream Team versus the Hillbillies in 85. Beefcake just pretends that Henry is Hillbilly Jim and breaks his leg again.
I'm down with that. Although, poor, as long as they don't break Henry's neck. He's had enough neck.
It's happening way too much.
What did you think of that run, though, Graham, as the heel Godwins with that feud with LOD? And I know people were kind of sick of him at that point, but I always enjoyed that little run there.
I got more behind them when they were heels instead of the more goofy babyface. I thought they were more believable as heels.
I agree. I hated the babyface stuff with Phineas. Being obsessed with Sonny and Hillbilly Jim and all that crap. I liked them a lot better in the heel role, too. I thought they played the Deliverance characters very well. I thought it fit perfectly. And it fit more in that little attitude stretch of 97 as well.
Sure.
I agree. All right, so they move on. Next up, we have two teams that probably fought each other at some point in 1999. We have Bradshaw and Farouk, the Acolytes, against... another singles superstars combination, The Rock and Mankind, The Rock and Sock Connection. It's a weird one. Strange combination here.
I'll let Graham kick this one off.
Yeah, go ahead, Graham.
You could really go either way. I mean, Rock and Sock, they lost matches. You know, they lost to teams, if I remember correctly, like the Hollies. It's just you got that weak link, Mankind. He can't beat anyone. He'll never amount to anything. I'll go with Rock and Sock. I'll go with the People's Elbow, 1, 2, 3, Feel Good.
I agree. I mean, I think if you line the teams up, they're clearly the more talented. It would be a good brawl, and I just don't see any way you can have the Acolytes advance over them, though.
I agree. Rock hits rock bottom on Bradshaw, gets the win.
I think Rock and Sock is kind of a sneaky little, I don't want to say favorite, but possibility for a little run here that may not have expected going in.
Now, this is kind of a wide open bracket here. There's not a clear favorite except for who we just discussed a couple of matches ago. All right, next one. Here's another weird one. I mentioned them briefly a little while ago. Probably the best of the worst, if you will. Billy and Bart, the Smoking Guns, taking on our, I believe, second appearance by the Big Show in this tournament. And this is a team from, I guess it would be, what, 2000, late 2004 into 2005. That would be the Big Show and Kane. Or be, wait, late 05 into 06?
Yeah.
Late 05 into 06, yes.
Oof, this is a tough one, too. I think they're very similar, not in stature, but in time frame. Like two teams that really dominated during down times. Like we said a couple times, like you just mentioned, Scott, the Guns really were a team that was on top of the game during one of the worst tag team periods in North American wrestling history, 94, 95, and early 96. I mean, the nadir of that at SummerSlam 96, to me, that match has always been the death of the tag division before they rebuilt it with the Bulldog and Owen team. I really like the Guns. I can't see them beating Big Show and Kane. I think Show and Kane were underrated at the time. I thought similar to Jericho and Show, they worked pretty well together. I thought they had pretty good chemistry, and Kane was fine at that point too. So I like Show and Kane to advance. Graham, who do you like in the match? And also, what do you think was the? Did you think that SummerSlam '96 four way is the bottoming out of the tag division?
Kane and Big Show take it. And in terms of the bottoming out, yeah, I mean, I could see that. I never thought about it beforehand, but I mean, right after that match is when they put the belts on Owen and Davey and kind of rebuilt it back up. And that was the last appearance of the Body Donnas. The New Rockers were gone shortly thereafter. The Godwins stuck around, but had lost their, I would say, top contender momentum. And then the Guns were broken up within a couple months.
Yep. And this, I hate that match too. The match just sucks. And yeah, to me, that was always just like, oh, this is the tag division right now. These four teams in there right now, how pathetic. And then Bulldog and save the day.
Pretty much.
But yes, I think Graham and I agree. Show and Kane, Scott, who do you like?
Oh, they're easily. I just think they're just too big, and the Guns. No, I agree. Show and Kane, move on. All right, our next matchup, as we continue on with this bracket, it's kind of wide open. It's been so long. Awesome. Mo and Mabel. The Candy Girls on a mission. Taking on another tough as a $2 steak tag team of the mid-80s. Davey Boy Smith, the Dynamite Kid, the British Bulldogs. On paper, this probably is one-sided, but...
No way!
I don't know if you can count the Candy Girls out.
What?
I don't know. Mo gets a couple of moves in.
Are they in this match too?
Going rogue.
Double DQ.
Great. I don't settle. Cry crap.
I would go with let me get this. Now, when Men on a Mission come out, are they dressed as Doink?
Does that make it better or worse?
Depends on your point of view.
Okay, so worse. Yeah, no chance here.
So they're not coming out as Doink?
No, they're coming out as the Candies.
They may leave as Doink.
They're dressed like Willy Wonka.
This is another one of those matches I would actually love to see.
You think so?
Yes.
How come?
Just imagine what Dynamite could do with Mabel. And imagine what the Bulldogs... I mean, just... The Bulldogs are easily oversized. So how do they use their tag teamness to their advantage? I'd love to see that. And Mabel working against Davey? That'd be fun. Yeah, I'd go with the Bulldogs. Mo takes the 1-2-3.
His body slams around the world, won everybody's vote. It almost knocked the hole right through the bottom of the boat.
He's not really thrilled, you know, that he got that you guys booted him out of this tournament.
Well, he can manage the men on a mission to this loss.
Yeah, that's true. The Bulldogs win this as well. I think Mabel gets. I think Davey Boy puts Mabel up on the post slam and drops him.
Yeah.
Huge, unbelievable moment.
The ring breaks.
Yes. Bulldogs move on. Okay. This is a fun little match.
Yeah.
Coming up next, two teams from similar eras, about the same era, really. I don't think they faced each other, though. Uncle and nephew, golf cart included. And that is, of course, Eddie and Chavo, Los Guerreros. Taking on a team that we saw on Raw a couple weeks ago, but only in a flashback. And that was the unbelievably awesome and entertaining team of Booker T and... Graham, go ahead.
Los Guerreros. Whether it be a 1-2-3 or Eddie tricks the referee into a DQ, Los Guerreros.
JR?
Yeah, I want to take Booker and Goldust, but I think the Guerreros are just better. I mean, Eddie's the best of the four, so I think they win. Graham, I just wanted your thoughts quick on Goldust, a guy that, you know, since he's kind of relevant again, has anyone ever gotten more chances and taken advantage of them and gotten higher? He's like the opposite, like Bizarro Marv Jannetty. Like, Jannetty gets all these chances and blows them. Goldust always seems to get these chances and, like, shows up in great shape and wins the job. Has he had, like, the most play-in wins of anyone?
Quite possibly. I mean, going back to he had the initial run in 95 and then came back in, what, 2002 and then 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Yeah. Every time he comes back, it's for like a one-time thing, and then he ends up kind of stealing the show and putting on a great match and getting the job done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that run he had in ECW in like 08-ish, 07, 08 was really good.
I saw him, he was at ECW taping, him against Sheamus.
I mean, he helped get a lot of those guys over.
Sure, sure.
Mm. Wow, do we have a incredible second round matchup coming up. Holy cow. But we continue on here in the first round, and... I don't think you're going to dissuade JR from voting for... It doesn't matter if fucking, you know, the Valiants or, you know, or the Samoans or any Hall of Fame tag team is here. It will not dissuade JR from picking them. We are, of course, talking about Jacques and Jean-Pierre, the Quebecers.
Well, he was just Pierre.
Ah, Pierre.
At the time. Get your Quebecer history right, please.
I apologize. No one is a maestro of French-Canadian greatness than you are. Taking on our third Big Show team of this tournament, Show Miz. I'm picking the Quebecers. All right, so we get to move on then. Fairly easy. All right, we all know who JR is picking. Graham, what do you think?
I'm picking the Quebecers.
JR, if you were booking this match, sculpt the last 5 minutes of this match for me, for us. How would the Quebecers win this one?
Convincingly.
Superstars and squash going on here?
It wouldn't even go 5 minutes.
No, I think Show looks like he's about to win with a choke slam. He gets distracted by Johnny Polo, grabs Polo, choke slams Polo. Pierre and Jacques knock him backwards into the ropes. He gets tied up in the ropes. They slam Miz, hit the Le Bomb de Quebec, and pick up the win. How about that?
I think JR is going to try and mangle these tournament picks. So we have Polo taking on a team that has Bobby on it. That's what I think we're trying to establish here.
I'll push him to go back because we're right to the finals.
All right. Final match of bracket number three. Two teams that were champs for seems like a brief time. Second time we've seen both of these guys, and that is the team of, according to, I guess, a poll Sunday night at Night of Champions, the greatest tag team champions of all time.
Oh, God.
Fucking kayfabe shit that was. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, of course, D-Generation X, who we all love, but greatest tag team ever. What?
Well, same fans picked Hogan as the greatest WWE champion of all time. Sure. So
the fans are Joey Styles and two interns.
Yeah, but you don't think that one was at least believable?
Sure.
Okay.
At the moment, no.
And they picked Sting as the greatest U.S. champion?
Well, that was stupid.
Because the fans now would have picked Cena. I think there would have been more Cena fans voting than Hogan fans.
Cena fans have just smartened up.
I didn't
think Cena had a chance.
They've been checking out my website.
Or Austin would have won. That's just my take.
I don't think
the tag team was ridiculous.
I don't think Cena had a chance. I mean, I thought maybe I don't think they had the balls to put Cena have him win over those guys. I don't see that. I thought Austin was going to win. To be honest,
I thought so too. Taking on a team that looked good until one of them got hurt and seems to never be back ever. The team of Air Boom, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne.
Graham.
Clearly, Air Boom takes this
cleanly.
Sean lays down.
No, actually, Kofi and Evan pull out guns. And they hold Sean at gunpoint to lay down.
That's where the boom comes from.
Yeah, I think it's a double pin within about 20 seconds for DX.
I agree. I think that
it's a comical double pin, too. Sean actually takes his time making the cover.
He hits the super kick. Triple H pedigrees them both on top of each other. And then Sean leans on them for the cover.
And then, much like WrestleMania 19, they take a full minute before they make the pin.
Yes.
Yes.
They walk around, shake hands with the fans, come over and pin them with one pinky.
All right.
And then sell some t-shirts.
And glow sticks. All right. One more bracket, and then we dive into some awesome second round matchups. Okay. We have got... This is might be one of the easiest one-sided matches of all time. Number one seed in this bracket.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
The best team of the... Oh, sorry. Yes, I know there are a few others here. We're talking about them right now, JR, in the Vintage Vault. Edge and Christian, because kazoos and soda rule. Taking on, managed by Steve Allen, yes. The team of Nikolai Volkoff, Boris Zhukov, as he says. Boris Zhukov. And that is, of course, the Bolsheviks. I could see Edge and Christian coming out dressed as the Bolsheviks as we start this match. Oh, God. What do you think, Graham?
It's kind of hard to argue against Nikolai singing the Russian anthem, national anthem.
That's a foolish national anthem.
And then eating a spear for the 1-2-3. It's like a 2-second match.
Maybe we could have like a duel between the 5-second pose and the singing of the Russian national anthem and then the spear. Yes, this will be a quick one. Poor Boris takes the pin.
All right. Next matchup here. Ooh, a couple of JR favorites here. We've got actually a pretty underrated team in terms of tag team. The storyline, their gimmick was pretty stupid, but tremendous in-ring work, and that is the team of Billy and Chuck. Complete with white terry cloth robes. Taking on another powerhouse team. Earthquake and Typhoon, the Natural Disasters. I see Billy and Chuck cheating to win this one.
I'm going the opposite. I think the Disasters beat them. I think they beat them clean. I think it's very similar to the Beverly Brothers match. Yes, Beverly Brothers match. SummerSlam 92. I think you think maybe Billy and Chuck has a chance, but the Disasters are just too big.
Okay.
I think Disasters is overlooked when you look at... I'm not talking about work rate. I'm not talking about great in-ring. I'm just talking about WWF tag teams. Like, I think the Disasters had a nice little run in 92, and I like Billy and Chuck, but I think the Disasters are just better as a unit.
All right, Graham, you're the tiebreaker. Who do you like?
Well, what really sells the match is you come to find out the natural disasters are really homophobic. And they don't like being touched like that.
Like Razor at the 96 Rumble?
Exactly. And so that adds a lot of intrigue to the contest as it develops. But ultimately, and Earthquake has to think twice about whether or not he wants to do it. But he ends up hitting the Earthquake sit-down splash.
And then we find out afterwards in this post-match angle that Earthquake's parents have split up, and he finds out that his father, maybe, is gay, and that led to this. No. I'm just trying to put a little backstory to your angle, Graham.
And then you find out
that Chuck,
who took the sit-down splash, really enjoyed it.
Oh, boy. It's getting too weird. Let's move on to the next one. Oh, this is a good, fantastic match next. Our second Owen Hart team, this is, of course, the team he had in 1995, debuted at WrestleMania 11 and won the tag straps right then and there. Owen Hart and Yokozuna, otherwise known as Yokozuna, taking on a tag team of JR's favorite manager.
Oh, God.
Both of these, same manager.
That's right. That he's torn. Correct. He's torn on this one.
And that is the team of Tanaka and...
I think he's a shitty manager.
Tanaka and... Kato!
Or Sato! Your choice!
The Orient Express.
Obviously, Kato and Tanaka were the better team.
They're the better team, so we'll put them in there. Graham, what do you think?
Okay, do you remember the new Foundation Orient Express match at Rumble 92?
Yes.
Okay. This is the exact same match.
Yes. And I think Anvil weighed about the same too. So.
Right. Okay. So Fuji puts the cane in the corner and Owen gets slammed through that, but then ultimately Yokozuna throws Owen Hart off the top rope for the 1-2-3.
And then they reverse it and Owen throws Yoko off the top rope and he bonsais onto Tanaka. Yes, I think they're going to express a game. I think they'll have a segment maybe where they control Owen, a little heat segment. That's pretty good. And then Yoko tags in and just squashes them both. So Owen and Yoko, another very similar to me, like Rock and Sock. Kind of a sneaky little underdog in this tournament.
Okay. All right, next up. Two very contrasting styles here. A team that dominated 92 into 93 in the tag team ranks, and that is the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and IRS Money Inc. taking on a team that may have not gelled in the WWF, but certainly looked good in other companies, but we can't talk about that. And that is the Wood and the Barbarian, the Powers of Pain.
This
I like Money Inc. I think Money Inc. wins this one with their.
This is a tough one, man. This one's really gutting me. I'm gonna put it on Graham and wonder if he's gonna make me break the tie or not. But
okay. I like Money Inc.
DiBiase and IRS are too smart, and if Warlord and Barbarian get to be too strong for them, they just whack him with the briefcase.
All right, I'm glad you took the vote out of my hands because I could not decide between these two teams. I love the Powers of Pain. But yeah, I can see both sides of your argument there. I think Money Inc. is just outsmarts them in the end and picks up the win. And we all know they have the superior manager as well. So Fuji won't be able to match wits with Jimmy Hart. And they outwork them. And Money Inc., I mean, when you even just look at the team's resumes, I mean, Money Inc. was just a stronger team. Again, in a little bit of a weaker time, but they were more dominant during their period.
But again, they're the kind of team that you could plug into any era and it'd be great. Mm-hmm. So it's different. All right. Work Rate Buffet here. One of JR's favorite teams of all time against one of my favorite teams of all time. Graham must break the tie. On one corner, we have Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, the world's greatest tag team, taking on easily one of my three favorite teams in the history of the universe, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, the Brainbusters. We all know what my pick is.
What a match this would be.
Oh, my God. It'd be fantastic.
Tully and Arn Spike Piledriver.
Yeah, you got to take the Brainbusters here. But, I mean, if we're talking prime world's greatest in the WWF, I mean, we're talking, what?
This is just a shitty
draw. Right? I mean, we're talking like late 03 when they were really in a groove as a team. This would just be a fantastic match. I mean, I'd put the world's greatest in the face and peril role, make them let the Brain Busters beat the piss out of them, have a couple hope spots, and then, yeah, Spike Piledriver finishes it. But this would be a hell of a match. This is like, this would be like a star-making match for the world's greatest.
Yeah. This is just a shitty draw for them. Could have been better in somewhere else, but their opponents? It's a good chance for the Brain Busters here. I'm not really crazy about either of these matchups. We have the former tag team champions from earlier this year, and that is the team of Daniel Bryan and Kane, Hell No, taking on the team of Little Million Dollar Man, Ted Jr., and Cody Rhodes, Legacy.
This one's not even a contest to me. I like Hell No.
I do, too.
I do, too.
I mean, Legacy, they were fine, but they never did anything memorable, you know? Like,
yeah, they're forgettable. They're forgettable.
They made Sean tap out.
Oh, yeah, and that worked wonders, both of them.
So, yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what show or how it happened, so that tells you how
it was. It was pay-per-view.
Right, which one?
Breaking Point.
Breaking Point, because that was the first of three straight. 2009. Yeah, because they fought
at
SummerSlam.
Something. Guys, it says something where they made Shawn Michaels tap out, and it meant nothing.
Right. Nothing. Garbage.
Yep. This is a one-sided match for me right here. We've got another of JR's personal favorites. And that is, of course, the Masters of the Fleur-de-Lis. Yes. Jacques and Raymond, the Rougeau brothers.
You've been waiting all day to say that, haven't you?
What's that? Yes. What? Fleur-de-Lis? Yes. Taking on the mat, the brothers of bar food. And that is the brothers of political backstage bar food. Kane and The Undertaker, the Brothers of Destruction. I fucking hated them when they tagged. I hate them here. I like the Rougeaus.
Yes, I agree. It would be quite the upset. I think people would be shocked, but I like the Rougeaus too. Fuck the Brothers of Destruction. They were, I mean, they were cool. I actually liked them better when they kind of reunited, like in, was it like 08, 09 or whatever?
Yeah, I did too.
When they would pop back up here and there, but I could not stand them in 01. I like the Rougeaus here.
I couldn't either. Graham?
The Rougeaus hit the Tower of Quebec, and they pinned The Undertaker 1-2-3.
Yes.
All right. Clean sweep. So the
All-American boys.
Now, that's also after they hit him in the head with the megaphone 18 times.
That's fine.
And
I don't care what they do.
He kicks out the first 17 of them.
I don't care what they do and how they do it as long as they win this match.
Yes. And the final match of the first round, a pretty good matchup here. Obviously a favorite, depending on how the draw works out. Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys, taking on Tyson Kidd and the Baby Bulldog, the Hart Dynasty. I think the Hardys win easily here, but I'll tell you something. Tyson Kidd, this is one of those matches where the Hardys could look good for the first 5 or 6 minutes, and then Tyson Kidd hits a move out of nowhere, and the doubt starts to creep in. But I think the Hardys win in the end.
I think this one could redefine like great short matches that we've talked about in the past, like great sprints. I think this would be fantastic, this match. Graham, I'm curious. I mean, I'm gonna pick the Hardys. I'm sure you are too. But when would you put peak Hardys? Because they were great early on, but man, their 06 reunion was really fucking good too.
Yeah, I would say 2007. I would say when right after WrestleMania they got the belts back, and all of a sudden, you know, the Hardy Boys are the established veteran team. I really like their stuff then, especially versus well, I mean, that's who they worked against primarily, but Kade and Murdoch.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was 08. Yeah, late 07 into early 08.
Yeah, they had a great year that year. I think as fun as they were in 99 and 2000 and 01, I agree with you guys. I think 06, 07 into 08 was really their best work. They had just matured so much as workers, and that was Matt Hardy. I mean, he was Matt Hardy from like 06 through, what was it like? When was he the ECW champion? Like 2010?
Yeah.
Like 2008.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah,
I don't think it was 09.
Because he, Jeff lost the belt at Rumble 09.
Right.
When Matt turned.
Okay.
So, because earlier in 08, Matt finally won the U.S. title from MVP.
That was
so that same summer?
That was spring of 08. Yeah, that was Backlash.
So it was the same year? And then he transferred to Mark Henry?
He beat Mark Henry in the
gauntlet thing. Oh, scramble.
Oh, that's right.
The scramble.
That's right. Matt won the scramble. Wow, that was a quick transition.
Yeah, 09-10, he went back to SmackDown. I don't remember too much about that part of it. I know through about 08 when he turned heel, I thought there was a stretch there like in 07, 08 where I thought he was like the best TV worker for a while.
I agree. That's when I was writing SmackDown and recapping.
You think so, Graham? You think at that point he was arguably the best like television worker?
That was probably when I was most interested in him. I mean, the weekly stuff with MVP, even the fact that he was out, he couldn't wrestle for the longest time. But I remember when he came back at WrestleMania in Orlando, got mm-hmm. a huge pop live. He was actually he was at a brunch earlier in the day that I was at and got a huge reaction there. Couldn't touch Jeff. But in terms of just all-around package, I think he was fantastic. He was probably hitting his peak right there.
I'm curious if he makes it back someday. All right, we've already spent a ton of time
in the first cars.
Round. Park cars. All right, Scott, take us through round two. Let's get into this one.
All right. Second round. We have bracket one, Demolition versus Rated RKO.
I like RKO, but Demolition wins this one.
Demolition.
I agree. Okay, time to step into the TARDIS with the Doctor and his companions for Eminem against Morrison and Miz.
All right, let's start at the top with this one and just really look at it. Which team was better? What was the better Morrison team? I think this is such an interesting debate, Graham. I really think it could go either way. I think they're so close. They each have their pros and cons. But which team did you think was just better?
Miz and Morrison, because I thought they were they were strong characters. Eminem was fine. It was fine. They were a nice package deal, and they could jump around and do stuff. But when you got to Miz and Morrison, they could talk. They could do hilarious promos. They could do their little video segments in which they made fun of how big Triple H's nose was. And they could work. So I think in terms of the whole overall package, Miz and Morrison.
Scott,
I don't know. I liked Eminem. I thought that they acted more like a tag team, and I thought I don't want to say the matches were well. It's hard to say the matches weren't better, but I just like the way they. I like the way they worked together in a match more than I did Morrison and Miz.
I think you're underrating Morrison and Miz.
I wasn't as crazy about. Well, let's put it this way. I don't think Nitro in Eminem and Morrison Miz were that much different at that moment. I think Morrison got better later. I think Mercury's a much better worker than the Miz is. And so I just think as a general
Miz,
overall.
That was package, like Miz's, that was his best, I mean, pretty close to his peak stuff. And he had just broken out. I don't know. I think I'm with Graham on this one.
That pairing made me care about Miz.
Yeah.
Before then, he was a non-factor.
I mean, I think back to some of those promos from Morrison and, Nitro at the time and Mercury, and they were just bad. But, I mean, they were great in the ring. They were fun. Melina carried them promo-wise and character-wise. But I agree. I think Morrison just matured in the ring, and I thought him and Miz really... To me, Eminem was, like, the best team in a kind of a shaky era. I thought Miz and Morrison could have hung in a lot of different eras. To me, that's the difference.
And Morrison and Miz did end up hosting a DVD, so... Got to give him credit for that, too. All right, so Morrison and Miz, move on. All right. Owen and Bulldog versus Kane and X-Pac.
All right, Graham, I'll let you take this one first.
Don't like it, but I'm going Kane and X-Pac.
Wow. How come?
Well, just I remember the Owen Jarrett Kane and X-Pac matches. I just think Kane and X-Pac was pretty much on fire for that time period, and I think it'd be a great match. It'd be a really fun match. I mean, could really go either way. I just think of Kane and X-Pac.
I like Kane and X-Pac a lot too. I don't see them beating Bulldog and Owen here. Bulldog and Owen were so good.
I don't either. Yeah.
It'd be a great match, like you said. I just picture them, X-Pac in the peril spot, and Kane gets the hot tag, and then gets knocked out of the ring, and they get a quick pin on X-Pac.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. So Bulldog and Owen move on. All right. Jericho and the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, not much of a match here. I think the LOD advance. Jericho gives him a little bit of a fight, but they pick on Jericho and pin him with the Doomsday.
Graham?
They hit the Doomsday on Big Show.
Oof.
Jesus. Let's hope Animal doesn't tear his whole back to pieces.
Graham's like the Vince Russo of the show, just booking this wacky shit.
And Jericho is on Big Show's shoulders.
So a double Doomsday.
It's a quadruple. Yes.
Jesus. What do you expect Animal to do?
So Animal's going to lift up Big Show and Jericho?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Is he still on Draza's goodies?
Yes. He won't feel anything until tomorrow.
Just fucking jacked up on coke, hoist the boat over there.
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to hit that. It's going to be amazing. And then Owen and Bulldog are going to win via forfeit.
Well, let's save that for the next round. Okay, so that's the end of that first bracket for round two.
All right. This is the first match where I'm sticking a stipulation on. It would be no DQ, falls count anywhere, just disgusting, violent mess. The Dudleys and the Twin Towers.
I don't give a shit. I'm taking the Twin Towers, baby. Unapologetic about it. Slick gets involved. They put Devon through a table. Akeem splashes him and picks up the win for the first major upset of the tournament.
Graham?
I'll go with your stipulation. Akeem hits a 3D through a flaming table.
Wait, Akeem hits it or takes one?
Takes one.
Oh, okay.
Oof. Oh, fuck. I was hoping you'd just say that. I was hoping I'd get to do what JR got to do 12 matches ago. Oh, God, what a disgusting brawl this would be. Oh, how could the Dudleys maneuver these two guys in a match, though? I don't know. Oh, shit. I got to go with the Towers.
Yeah.
I don't know if those guys, I don't know if Devon and Bubba Ray can move those bodies. Because a lot of their finishers and a lot of their tag moves involve lifting them up. And I don't think they can. I think Akeem, I think Boss Man handcuffs Bubba to the post. And Akeem sets a table on fire, hands Devon to Boss Man, and Boss Man does a sidewalk slam off the top rope through a flaming table.
All right. So our first...
They
all die.
Our first number one seed goes down, the Dudleys in round two. The Twin Towers advance.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, Scott and Graham, you look at the potential round three match, you might be looking at a little sneak into the final four for the Towers.
Depends who they face at the bottom.
It's the Elite Eight, I should say.
This is interesting. I like this one. The Shield and the Islanders.
We'll let Graham go. He's been on the Shield. He kickstarted the upset before in the first round.
Shield.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to agree.
I don't know. I think Haku's the best of all of them. No,
I know. There's a wild card in this whole mix, and it's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, true. Think he outworks Bobby at ringside?
Yeah. It's tough. Oh, my God, you're looking at... I think Dean might be intimidated by the Great One, but...
Okay, the Shield, unexpectedly in the Sweet 16.
Oof. These two probably never faced each other because they were both babyfaces at the time. JR, like you're cool forced match. To go first on this one.
I like this bracket a lot. A lot of good high-flying teams stuck in this bracket.
The Rockers and Strike Force.
Wow, great match. It's almost like this was a 4-6 of that SummerSlam 89 six-man.
Yes.
Oh, man, I think this would be an awesome. This could be the sleeper match of the tournament. Mm. I like the Rockers, though. I think they're the better team overall. Like, this is where Strike Force's problems kind of start to seep in. But I think this would be an awesome, awesome match.
I agree, because Rontel's going to turn around and go, "You're still a loser!"
You always have been.
You always have been a loser. Graham?
Sensational Sherry comes out, and Martel blows her a kiss, and then she blows him a kiss, and then Sean and Marty hit a double dropkick like they're the Rock and Roll Express and get the win.
And then Sean looks at Sherry and goes, "Why are you blowing a kiss at Martel?"
All right.
Ugh, this bowling shoe ugly. Steiners and the New Age Outlaws.
All right. Even though we're looking at a very small sample size for the Steiners, I still think their 93 is better than anything the Outlaws put on. I know the Outlaws had a great run. They were a good team. But if you look at the level of competition faced and the way they were handled, I think the Steiners are just a better unit. I think they advance here.
I think Rick gets outsmarted and eventually...
by his shoes?
Yes, precisely. Billy hits the Famouser and the Outlaws move on. All right, Graham,
break it.
That's an awesome finish. He goes to tie... He realizes that his boot is unlaced and he goes to tie it and Billy hits the move. I'm going with that.
You're going to eliminate the Steiners because that's a stupid finish.
That's an awesome finish.
That's awesome. All right, so the Outlaws move on. Let's go to bracket three.
I wanted all the top seeds to topple in that bracket. That was the weakest one.
The Hart Foundation and the Dream Team.
Hearts here. The Dream Team had their run. They picked up their first round win, but I think the Hearts win this one easy.
Yeah, I agree. Rock and Sock Connection versus the Big Show and Kane.
A lot of star power in this match. But like I said, I really think the Rock and Sock have a chance to make a little bit of a run here. They're going to have a very tough match in the Sweet 16, but I think they beat the Big Show and Kane.
I agree.
I'll be the odd one out, not that it matters.
Let's have a reason.
I just think that Big Show and Kane would overpower Rock and Mankind, and Mankind would eat a double choke slam.
Well, okay. Good thing it doesn't matter.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But it never happened.
All right.
Easily. And Triple H comes out and hits him with the sledgehammer.
Yes. Shits and giggles.
Easily, gentlemen, the best match of the second round. No doubt about it. The British Bulldogs and the Guerreros.
You think this is better than Rock or Strikeforce?
Yes.
Okay.
Not by much. Notch or two, but yes.
All right, Graham, what do you like here?
I will go with the Bulldogs only because we can only give the Guerreros at least just one screw job finish. And I gave them the screw job finish with the previous match, but Eddie can't steal them all.
Yeah, I think they pick on Chavo. I think they take Eddie out and then they finish Chavo off.
Even though my pick doesn't matter, I actually think that I think there's still some heel chicanery and the Guerreros move on. But
you really think so?
Yeah, I do. I think
you remember how good the Bulldogs were, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
But
I mean prime Bulldogs. We're talking like 86.
No, I know. But I think Eddie and I think some chicanery. Not like the whole throw the chair in the ring and pretend you got hit with it, but just some, you know. To you know, roll up on Davey Boy and Eddie, you know.
So what's prime Guerreros like late 02?
Most of 03?
Yeah, I would say when Eddie had the U.S. and the tag belts.
Yeah, so like October 02 to like September 03, probably. I mean, I hate knocking out the Bulldogs. Mm. It was one of my dad's favorite tag teams, but I just think that push came to shove in a big tournament. I think Bulldogs are one of those teams that always got hosed.
This is where they get the redemption.
So, well, they do because you guys picked them. So,
I smell another upset brewing in this next match.
Oh boy, the Quebecers and DX.
Graham.
Is Johnny Polo there?
Yes.
Is China there? Ooh. Here's an idea. China runs out and beats up Jacques to get DX disqualified.
I like it.
I think. And then Hunter and Sean are like, "What are you doing?" And then she double clotheslines them.
What's peak DX as a team? Because I mean, they teamed a little bit in '97. So we count as 06 as their run?
Well, if you're talking with the tag belts, it'd just be an 09.
Well, you didn't have to. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the champions. I guess, yeah, I guess okay. So. But I guess, I mean, you would consider at their peak. That's when they were champions. All right, well, you know where I'm going. I think DX is so overrated as a team. I just do. Two great singles stars. I never liked them as a team. I don't think they really worked well as a team. They were just two guys teaming up to me. They were not a team.
And most of the matches were comedy.
Except for the 09 against Legacy. I hate to do this because I don't want to give JR any more of his teams, but I have to agree. I think that when push comes to shove, in terms of continuity as a team, I got to give it to Jacques and Pierre. They're such a happy team.
They are. They would have celebrated this win like crazy.
He's trying to get a Quebecers Towers final. See how that works. All right, final bracket, second round. Edge and Christian versus the Natural Disasters.
Edge and Christian.
Yeah, Edge and Christian. Disasters had their win.
Ooh, good match here. Owen and Yoko against Money Inc.
Oh, that is a good match. I like Owen and Yoko, though. I think they're a sneaky contender.
Owen and Yoko.
I have to agree. I do, too.
I think they just overpower Money Inc.
If you had to position one of them as faces, JR, would it be Owen and Yoko? They have to be. How could you make DiBiase?
I think it's a heel-heel match.
Hmm?
I think it's just a heel-heel battle.
Okay. I'm not saying you have to, but if you needed to make one of them babyface, it would probably be Owen and Yoko. They got some cheers anyway in 95. All right. The Brainbusters and Team Hell No. Not that there's any question on this one.
The Busters.
All right, tell me.
Although, I mean, their segments of Daniel Bryan would be awesome.
Yes, yes. Graham, just for the heck of it, what do you think?
Arn taps out.
Really?
Yep.
Now, is that just because of Bryan, or do you just think they're a better team?
I think you're crazy.
What? Listen, you invited me on. If you're going to make fun of what I think,
I will go on
some other show.
Just disagreeing. It's healthy debate.
Okay.
Embrace debate.
I think Arn and Tully is technically a better team. I still think Hell No could win.
I think it'd be a good match. I mean, like I said, I mean, the segments with Tully or Arn battling Bryan would just be phenomenal. I just think the Busters overcome them in the end in advance.
Finally, the Rougeaus and the Hardys.
Rougeaus. Because I can talk crazy. Early Hardys. Hardys win this.
Yeah, I want to pick the Rougeaus, but if we're looking at like 99, 2000 Hardys, I'd probably take the Rougeaus, but that 07 Hardys run is tough.
Yeah, it is. I agree. All right, gentlemen, we've gone to the regionals. Our four regional venues. We begin at the Boston Garden for these matchups. Demolition against the Miz and Morrison. I think Demolition mangles them.
Demolition.
Yeah, Demolition. Miz and Morrison have a good run, but, I mean, come on.
Ooh. Bulldog Owen and the LOD.
You don't know how bad I want to take Bulldog and Owen here.
No joke, I almost want to, too. Tough, but I got to take the LOD.
Yeah, I don't feel like getting massacred on our Facebook pages. I'll take the LOD.
LOD.
That's a tough one, though. That's a close one.
It's the regional final that everybody wanted, so. All right, we move on to bracket two at Maple Leaf Gardens. The Twin Towers and the Shield. I can't see them trying to triple power, but it's not going to work.
The Twin Towers, JR. Man, I'm telling you, sneaky
trip. You got the bracket you wanted.
Sneaky trip into the Elite Eight. No, Russo, shut up.
I like the Towers.
Go ahead, Graham. What are you going to say?
Roman Reigns, spear to Akeem.
He bounces off and Akeem falls on him for the win.
Rockers and the New Age Outlaws.
I'm sorry. You already put the Outlaws over one team they should have lost against. There's no way they beat the Rockers in their prime. No way.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Sure.
Oh, look at this. We're going to have a WrestleMania 5 regional final.
I love it.
All right. Bracket number 3, we go down to the Charlotte Coliseum. The Hart Foundation. Rock and Sock. Wow. That's weird.
Well, Rock and... Yeah, odd match. I think Rock and Sock finally meet their match. They had a run, but I think the Hearts are just a better team.
Yep.
I agree. Oh, boy. The British Bulldogs and the Quebecers.
The miracle run of the Quebecers comes up just short here. I cannot, in good faith, put the Bulldogs down for them. This would be a fun match, though. Like, I think it would be one of those matches where the first half is kind of comedy, and then they get into a real match and finish strong.
I think it goes about 10 seconds with a surprise roll-up.
By the Quebecers?
No, for the Bulldogs. Bulldogs win it.
All right.
Wait, and then the final... Jacques is screaming at a fan, and Dynamite just runs over and rolls him up. 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And then he throws a fit.
All right. And in the final bracket at the ECW Arena... you like that? I was going to put the Omni, but figure what the fuck. I'm trying to represent all three major promotions. Edge and Christian take on Owen and Yoko.
Well, that's an interesting match, too.
I got to say, I like Owen and Yoko.
Edge and Christian.
Oh, I hate you both. All right, I'm going to take Edge and Christian. I think there's just a little miscommunication between Owen and Yoko. Owen gets fed up. And they push each other. Yoko shoves Owen down, and Edge and Christian take advantage and steal the win. If it wasn't Edge and Christian here, there's a very good chance I would have advanced Owen and Yoko. But Edge and Christian was so dominant in 2000.
Okay. And the final regional semi, the Brainbusters and the Hardys.
Hardys.
I think the Brainbusters ground their aerial attacks. Spike pile driver off the second rope to Matt.
See, this that is already the finish earlier.
Yeah,
that's not very creative.
God, Scott.
Okay. Like
George
Tully
Scott
brings in Baby Doll and sets Owen on fire.
Then Magnum comes out with a baseball bat.
Exactly. He comes out with a piece of his broken up Ferrari and bashes a guy in the head.
Oh.
This is a tough one because I know the Brainbusters had a short run, but I feel like their prime was when they were here, in a way, as a team. I feel like they were really good in 89. That fucking Hardys run, though, I can't shake it. But was 06 Hardys, like, as good as that was, is that really better than peak Brainbusters? Yeah, I'm going with the Brainbusters.
We are down to the Elite Eight, gentlemen. Let's move back to the Boston Garden for the match everyone has been waiting for. Demolition and the Legion of Doom.
Now, if you're talking all-time resumes, obviously.
Even all-time resumes. And look, I'm the first one to admit it. Even with all-time resumes, this is pretty tight.
Yeah, but it opens up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think if you're looking strict WWF, I don't see how you can say LOD should go over Demolition here.
Graham?
Demolition.
All right, well, it doesn't matter then.
Well, give us a reason. What do you think?
Well,
Crush.
No, you know, you're right. No, actually, you're right. You're right. Demolition, what a war. And forget the Crush shit. We're talking like Demolition 88. Against.
Don't speak back, first of all. For two... You can bring in Crush, Mr. Fuji, the Orient Express, and they all cost the Road Warriors the match.
And Rocco fights him off.
And Rocco. And Paul Ehrling. Paul Ehrling turns heel. The DOA drive in. It's a mess.
All right. As expected, Demolition moves on to the Final Four at Madison Square Garden.
If you're looking full resume, Graham, who do you take?
WWF-wise, Demolition.
I'm saying no, full,
no,
full
overall.
Resume.
Oh, well, yeah, Road Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back. Let's go down to the Maple Leaf Gardens. Gorilla with his pal Billy Red Lions. We always talked about when on the house shows. Ooh, a WrestleMania 5 rematch. The the Twin Towers, and the Rockers.
Ugh. Well, we've seen it happen, and the Twin Towers won, so that's, that's it.
JR, I can't disagree with you. That's really the sad thing.
No, I mean, I really want to put the Rockers over here. I mean, Twin Towers over here, but I just think the Rockers were the better team. I mean, they just had so many great matches. They had such a great run. A really fun team. I can't put the Towers over them in good faith. I think the Rockers go to the where are we at? Is this for the Final Four?
It's for the Final Four. It's a trip to the Garden.
And the Rockers go to the Garden.
Grant? Graham?
What's my name?
Grant Owens. Grant Owens, sing us a song. I was looking at another sheet. Graham?
I think it'd be a great match. I would like to see the Rockers win just to even it up one apiece.
I was gonna fuck the whole thing up, JR, and pick your boys, but it doesn't matter. All right. Rockers head to MSG. And a date with Demolition. All right, let's go to the other side. Let's head to the Charlotte Coliseum, the Hart Foundation, British Bulldogs. Bulldogs want revenge for losing the titles in January of 87.
Yes, yeah, another match we've seen a lot in reality.
Fuck.
I think the Hearts win here. I think the Hearts beat them at the time, and I think they beat them again. The fucking Hearts are just so good as a team. And I know it was mainly Brett, but Anvil played his role well. So, and the Bulldogs, I think, come up just a little bit short on total Dodef resume.
Damn it. Graham?
Bob? Yeah, I'll go Hearts.
Inchy? Who? Ah, shit. All right. Hart Foundation. Look, I don't dislike the Hart Foundation whatsoever, but damn it.
Bulldogs. You eliminated the Bulldogs last round in your bracket. What are you talking about? You had Guerrero's beating them.
That's true.
Now you're all upset.
But the Guerrero's.
Save your crocodile tears for another show.
But the Guerrero's would have beaten the Hart Foundation, I think.
Oh, God.
Hart Foundation head to the Garden. And finally, the ECW Arena, which is breaking down, falling apart, smells like pits. Edge and Christian and the Brainbusters.
Well, is this in the arena or is it in the parking lot?
It's in the locker room at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's in Paul's mom's basement with the ironing board while she's making macaroni.
Wow, this is a tough one.
I got to go with the Brainbusters. They outsmart Edge and Christian. And really, they're just in their primes, Tully and Arnold.
See, this is like the ultimate issue with this tournament, though, for me, is like their prime. Their prime is so good, but their resume and their draft is so short. 1 year, I feel dirty putting them over these other teams. But I guess Edge and Christian really just had about a year and a half. Well, they had about a year. Well, if you're talking like best Edge and Christian, I guess that's only about a year too, right? I mean, like WrestleMania 16 to 17, that's pretty much their run.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you think?
The Brainbusters were pretty much Survivor Series to Survivor Series.
All right, here's what happens. Hardy Boys are pissed off that you guys picked the Brainbusters over them. So they run out and interfere, and Edge and Christian win.
I would kill Matt Hardy if he ever did that. All right, well. So what's our final tally here? JR, I don't think you picked your team.
No, I haven't.
1-1, once again.
Let's take a break. No.
PlaceToBeNation.com. Hey, you know what? Hopefully some bring up an article maybe soon.
I got to go with the Brainbusters. I mean, you know, looking at the resumes, and Edge and Christian had a lot more title wins, but the titles also bounced around a lot more during that stretch. I just think the Brainbusters, I mean, they both had a year, strong year on top. Edge and Christian had more time in the promotion. Yeah, I think the Brainbusters is a better team.
Mm. Okay. All right, guys.
You guys do realize that the Bushwhackers regularly beat the Brainbusters by knocking Tully on top of Arn, and the referee counted it.
Well, the Bushwhackers on a whole nother level.
Yeah, level of stupidity.
Yeah, okay.
Matches don't count.
Shut up.
Cameras weren't there, Graham. How do you know?
Yeah, you just make shit up for your website.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we're flying to Madison Square. Well, Graham is. You and I are hitting the train to Madison Square Garden. We have the round table doing the pregame like we do, like CBS does for the Final Four. The three of us. Ashley Cruz.
What?
Ringside interviews with Jay Hinchy. It's right. Amazing.
People want to watch this thing, so.
Top of the line. All right, guys. In the 5:30 matchup, Demolition and the Rockers. I'm going to like JR stew this one. Graham, go ahead. You first.
Demolition.
Pretty quick.
Do we have a reason?
Because they win.
Yeah, I think they pummel them.
Well, it's not going to matter, but I think I would have taken the Rockers.
Really?
I do.
Hmm.
I don't know how you can sit there and say Demolition was a better tag team than the Rockers. And just for your reasoning is because they win is bullshit, Coffon.
Well, you want to watch how you want to watch some Rockers Demolition matches and see who wins?
Yeah, that depends who has the book.
But
just give me one reason.
Scorpion comes out.
Just give me one reason.
Because they're bigger and stronger. And they don't sell for shit.
You just
and Marty's the weak link.
No love Sean to the Ernst. Small guy. All right. All right, Demolition into the finals.
Okay, the primetime matchup at the Garden. Oh, a rematch of the SummerSlam 89 opener. The Hart Foundation and the Brainbusters. Motherfucker. Two out of three falls.
You know where this thing was headed for the championship. I got to take the Hart Foundation here.
Graham?
Hearts.
All right, good. I have to pick.
Be a great match. Obviously, we've already seen it.
I would make it 2 out of 3 falls, just like...
No, the finals is 2 out of 3.
Okay, well, right now the finals is 2 out of 3 falls, and it's 3 stages of hell.
Oh, God. All right, line up our final, Scott.
All right. In this corner, from parts unknown, at a total combined weight of 604 pounds, led to the ring by nobody, because they didn't have a manager, Axe and Smash, Demolition. And in the other corner, their opponents. First, from Las Vegas, Nevada, weighing 285 pounds, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. His partner, from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, weighing 245 pounds, Bret Hart. I didn't give him the Hitman nickname.
They gave me Bret Clark.
Bret, well, no. What are they, tag teaming at night? Oh, this is the 99 Hart Foundation. Well, very different. All right. You knew this was coming.
All right, Graham.
Hearts. I've seen this match. I saw it best 2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, but that was not the prime.
Why wasn't it?
Because they had Crush, and Axe was not in good shape.
So
actually, we saw this match twice at 2 different SummerSlams.
Right, but best 2 out of 3 falls.
The 88 Demolition versus the 90 Hart Foundation is pretty much what we're talking about here.
All right, Scott, who do you like?
Oh, boy. Axe goes for the decapitation device. But Anvil clotheslines Smash over. There's a big Molly Womp in the corner of the ring, and eventually Axe is down. Smash gets the heart attack, and the Hart Foundation win.
Way to suck all the drum out of the room and make it a 2-0 sweep. But yes, I think the Hart Foundation win this match as well. And win the whole thing. Win it all. They are the greatest tag team in WWF history. All right.
Then who runs in to ruin the whole party? Ian and Axel Rotten.
Oh, God. All right, let's do this quickly, Graham. Anyone, I mean, obviously we just went with the majority. Who would you have had in the finals if you had your personal druthers?
Come back to me in a minute. I got to think about it.
All right. Scott, how about you?
If I had my druthers, who would I have winning it?
Well, who would you have had in the finals? Who would you have? I mean, would you have picked these two teams if you were just doing this whole bracket?
Sadly, I probably would have had the Brainbusters be the foundation. But if we're strictly talking WWF, I don't know how else you could put anybody else in these two slots, to be honest with you. I know you love the Rockers, JR, but they're not in the same class as either of these teams.
I mean, if it was up to me, I probably would have had Rockers and Hearts in the finals. I think Hearts would still be my pick to win. But all right, what do you think would have been the match of the night?
Of all of these matchups we had?
Yeah, the whole tournament.
I'm telling you, that
Twin Towers.
Which that one? Bulldogs, because of Dudley's?
That Bulldogs Guerrero's match is pretty damn good.
I think Strikeforce Rockers. Or Hearts Brainbusters. All right, Graham, who would you have had in the finals, and what's your match of the night?
Just for the sheer intrigue and the way you guys played them up, I put the Twin Towers in the final. Because at that point, they were so burned and bloody and stitched up, they'd be zombies. I really like any of these big, you know, there's a lot of value and there's a lot of intrigue with the guys that are smaller and can bounce around a lot. But really, the Twin Towers and the Hedgewriggers, I think on paper, is phenomenal. And yes, that's just an opening round match.
Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun. All right. There you go. There's our tournament, tag team tournament. I thought it was a pretty cool idea. I'll have to do it again with a different crop. Maybe we'll do NWA, WCW tag teams next time. We'll mix it up. So I want to thank you, Mr. Grant Cawthon.
We find 64 of them.
I'm sure we can.
Fire and ice.
Meta Work will be in there. Graham, hope you had a good time coming on chatting us. Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
I did. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
And Scott, we'll be back Monday night. We'll be chatting a little Unforgiven 2000 with Mike Poulin. Will be with us.
Yep.
And Wednesday night, we're kind of continuing this tag team trek. We'll have some of the guys from PWO, Pro Wrestling Only, on. We'll have Chad Campbell with us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to debate tag teams and which member of teams was the best. Chad's going to be leading that discussion, I think. Mm-hmm. And we'll kind of discuss a bunch of tag teams, who was the better member of each team. Continuing kind of tag team month here in the Place to Be podcast. So for Graham Cawthon and Scott Criscolo and Justin Rosero, we'll have everyone have a great weekend. Scott, I'll see you on Friday night.
Yes.
And Graham, I'll see you in my dreams. And the rest of you, we'll talk to you Monday night. Everyone take care. Get out of my dreams. Graham, do you own a car or just a horse?
We don't have cars here yet.
No?
No.
We don't have pavement on the roads either.
Got word that we might get a horseless carriage next year.
All you folks, what it's all about. Now it's time for to get on the mic and make this motherfucking party hype. I'm taking it back to the old school, cause I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you wanna get down, I'ma show you the way. Boom, there it is. Let me hear you say, boom, there it is. Come on, y'all. Boom. On deck, rock the mic. Uh-oh, I crave skin, rip shit, find a honey dip to dip it in, slam dunk it, stick it, flip it and ride that B-double-O-T-Y, oh my. Ooh, that's it, come on, whoop, there it is, I'm done.
profound sound that you have found amazing, outstanding, demanding, commanding, you people dancing. That's a breathtaker. I produce, aka The Undertaker. You wanna come down to the underground old school? Here's a shovel. Can you dig it, fool? Can you dig it?
We can dig it.
Can y'all dig it?
We can dig it.
As I flow to the fly from the school of old, hardcore kick the folklore wreck. Three to the two and one mic check. Mass skill blow ill on the mess of steel. That's the grill of the microphone I just killed. Party keep wishing, party tag team is through. Whoop, there it is, I thought you knew.
Whoop.